There's that Friedhof, the oldest cemetery in Fredericksburg. The board, that is made up of two members from each of the three remaining owner congregations, have worked tirelessly over the last several years to save and preserve these hallowed grounds. The five members currently serving on the board donated over 2,700 hours last year. As you have followed our progress, we have shown you amazing preservation work paid for by grants from the Adam R. Scripps Foundation, City and County Hot Funds, the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country, and private donors such as yourselves. In 2025, we were able to add more burial space. We received city and county hot funds to repair the drainage channel that was eroding the soil toward the historic graves in Section D. This channel directs acres of water from the city down to Barron's Creek. In the future, we hope to repair the next section and stop the erosion. A historic marker was dedicated for Section C from the African American communities in Gillespie County, and another narrative marker was approved by the state for the whole cemetery. We would be remiss if we didn't note the donations we have received for several years from Hill Country Pump Services and Gillespie Waste Services. We have contracted with a cemetery software company, and we have walked every row to verify our records, and they will soon be available on our new website, so graves will be easier to locate. As we begin 2026, we have begun the next phase in our preservation efforts and have begun construction on a new open-air chapel, a columbarium for cremains, and a new 30-foot lighted flagpole to fly over our nearly 600 veterans. We want to thank Brian Laney for the donation of the installation work and assisting us in the purchase of the flagpole. 60 to 70% are choosing cremation currently, and to meet the needs of the community, we believe this will be a respectful and conservative use of the land. Why does this matter? Because just as our ancestors thought of us when they were settling this land and laying out our future, we believe that it is our responsibility to prepare for future generations. Saving this historic cemetery is not just for us, but for those that follow. Your financial support is invaluable to preserve the history of those that came before us and to preserve the cemetery for those that come after us. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. We confess to Him in the silence of our hearts. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for His sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our opening song.
Rise up, O saints of God, from vain ambitions turn. Christ rose triumphant, that your hearts with nobler zeal might burn. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, your generous goodness comes to us new every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in praise.
What do we deserve from God? Jesus shares the parable of the workers in the vineyard to remind us of our Heavenly Father's grace, love, and justice. God's love does not follow our worldly rules of fair or unfair. He shares his love according to his will for us and for his world. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and at 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite you to be seated, please. It'll just take me a moment to get set up here because, well, we just got to do something here. So, hey, I have to tell you, so for Lent, on Ash Wednesday, we invite the community to come through on our ashes to go. And there were 120 tacos made, and we gave out every single one. We praise God for that team that did that. That was a monumental work. We had 145 people from this church and from the community come through. I just want to say, way to go, church, for reaching out and making this happen. Here we go. All right. Well, I just got to make sure this scale here is just all right. And in fact, I better move this back just a little bit so I can get to it. It's my scale. We'll see. We'll just see how this goes. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, we thank you that you are the righteous judge and you love us so dearly. But Lord, open our eyes to understand your nature and how you see us and how you love us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So you heard the parable, and it's a long one. And it was the the workers in the vineyard. And I would say that this was one of the ones that over the years I've had more people that have said, I really have problems with this. And what's the problem? Is that the people that started working very early in the day, well, end of the day, those people that were only there for an hour, how much did they get? The same. And that really ticks off a lot of people. It really does. You mean I spent my whole life doing this and I could have just done it at the end? Or are we going to see what the Lord has to say like that? And, you know, I want to start out with this idea here, and I just have to throw it out to you and ask the question, if Jesus, do you see Jesus as our employer? Okay, is Jesus our employer? And, you know, so I got to put this up here and get it down. And actually, you know what? I really should have this a little further in the front so you can see what's happening here. All right. I'll just need to squeeze around. So there's Jesus, our employer. Okay, now. Oh, nope, don't turn around. And I'm going to do this from back here. It'll just be easier. Now, you heard the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them at a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. And you'll notice the scales on the side there. Here's the scale. And the question really is Jesus, if Jesus is our employer, is he fair? Because it sure doesn't sound like it based on, you know, any employer relations. You could get in all sorts of trouble for doing what Jesus did if you're an actual employer. And he's told about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and still found others. And he said to them, you also go out and work in my vineyard. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last and hired ones, and go on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received how much? Denarius, which was the day's wage. So when those who hired first, they expected what? More. Does that seem reasonable to you? How many of you would have been upset? Well, that's good. Only half of you. All right. That's and each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to what? Grumble. How many of you would be grumbling right there? Okay. Again, half of you. Good. All right. That's good. Now, and they grumble against the landowner. All right? So here's the thing. If Jesus is our employer and he's not fair to us, right? We maybe start grumbling a bit. How come their life is so much better? How come their life is going so much easier than mine? I'm a follower of Jesus. It's supposed to be better. And they don't care a lick for Jesus. And they just do their own thing. And look at them. They're doing great. Why on earth am I following? But then the landowner says this. We jump to verse 15. And he looks at them and he says, don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? And what I'd like you to think about for a moment, we're going to substitute a word. Because, I mean, Jesus is pointing right at this, so I don't feel like we're taking too much. This isn't a problem for us to change out this word. Jesus is saying, don't I have a right to do with my own love, with my own grace, with my own people that I created, my beloved ones. Don't I have a right to do what I want with all that, with all them? Or are you envious because I'm generous? You know what? That is so, so important to get through our heads. Are you, to ask that question of yourself, to meditate on that question. I have to meditate on this question. Am I envious because he's generous to others, like who came in so late? Or maybe don't work as hard as I do at this. It's an important question to ask. And so as we take a look at this, you know, I look at kind of, you know, the worldly thing. You know, we sort of say, you know, why do I deserve good in this life? Well, because I'm a good person, okay? I'm a good person. I gave up lots of sins that I used to do, okay? And the last one here is I didn't swear much. Okay, so lots of good things that we're doing. So Jesus is my employer, so I'm going to go ahead and just, whoop, let's see here. Let's get this up. Here we go. Jesus is my employer. And as an employee, you know, as an employee, I have certain rights, don't I? If I show up to work, if I do a good job, if I make the, you know, I'm doing good things and don't swear too much anymore, then my employer owes me all sorts of things, doesn't he? He owes me my paycheck. I got a little retirement in there too. I have certain rights as an employee, right? And so here we go. Jesus is the employer, and you know what? All my stuff, we think, well, you know, it balances out. Oh, wait a minute. That didn't balance out there, because we think that this is all we got to do. But then we think, well, no, we know as Christians that there's more that we got to do, right? Because wait a minute, Jesus is still outweighing us. But you know, if we do, well, we'll let that go up there. Whoop. But here's the thing: I taught Sunday school. More stuff. I went to church. For the past 50 years, I went to church. I gave a tithe. So if Jesus is my employer, he what? Owes me. And so we're just going to add that on down here on the bottom. Let's see here. Okay. There we go. Now, how's this going to balance? Oh, look at all those good works. How am I doing? Well, don't we think that way a bit? But the fact is, what Jesus is saying in this parable is he's not our employer. He's our Savior. And what we see here is that really amounts to nothing. All of those good works, and there really is no scale at all. Because it's not about Jesus as our employer, but Jesus as our Savior. And there's no scale anymore. Because his love, his grace, all that he has accomplished, happened here. With the nails on the cross. That is good news, people. Yes, you know, there's some wonderful passages. St. Paul writes about this. And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. Because he's trying to explain, about God's grace and his mercy. And he says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. How? In Christ. And he says, it's by grace we've been saved. On that balancing thing, it's his grace. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. You didn't have, okay, I'm going to add more faith, more faith, more faith, so it tilts in my favor. Paul says, even that faith is not from yourself. And he goes on, he says, it's the gift of God. It's all gift for you. All gift. Not by works, not by doing all those things, not swearing, no, I mean, we had the whole list, and that was only a very partial list. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And then he says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. We are made new. We have been made alive. And here it is. He said, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance for us to do. So what he's saying is, you don't add on here so that the scale tips in your favor, because then you're only looking at Jesus as an employer. But when you look at him and come to know him as Savior, as you encounter him as Savior, you experience his love, you experience his grace, and it changes us, it makes us alive in Christ so that we do those good things. You see the difference? Because of what Christ has done, therefore we do these things. Not because we've done these good things, Christ owes us something. Christ owes us something. You see, the beauty of this, as opposed to that balance, and you're trying to think, how am I doing on my balance? Am I doing all right? Am I doing enough? The fact of the matter is, and what we learn from God's word, is that the love of God cannot increase any more than it already is. It is infinitely perfect. God's love for you is infinitely perfect. He can't love you any more than he does. Okay? God's grace is infinitely perfect. It cannot be more than it already is. Christ's sacrifice is infinitely perfect. It can't be any better than what it is. Our prayer, our calling, is to hear that God, in his love for you, has done all of this on your behalf, for you, for your forgiveness, that you would have new life and experience true life in him. And set aside all that balancing act of thinking, well, I haven't done enough, I haven't done enough. Instead, coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, thank you that you've done it all. And now, set me to what you want me to do. Well, if you think about it, for the first disciples, what they realized at the resurrection of Jesus is that God had perfected it all and had given everything for them. And because he gave everything, they in turn, their hearts were changed. And they were willing to give everything, not to earn anything, but simply out of gratitude, simply out of love for their amazing, our amazing Creator and God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, we are grateful, so very grateful for your infinite grace, your infinite love, that we now know in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, calm our hearts, calm our fears about our salvation, and help us to live into all that you have given to us and done for us, that you may be glorified in all that we do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. In just a few minutes, we're going to be receiving Holy Communion. And as you come forward, we just want you to be able to celebrate that this is entirely gift for you. We're going to go ahead and sing together as we receive the evening offering.
Praise and thanksgiving, Father, we offer for all things living, created goods, harvest of sown fields, fruits of the orchard, hay from the mown fields, blossom and wood.
Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy church. We thank you that she is your precious bride. And Lord, we are grateful for the calling that you have placed upon us to proclaim the good news of your grace and love in Jesus Christ. We praise you that you sent him. We praise you that he lived among us. We praise you that he ushered in the kingdom, your kingdom. We praise him for his suffering, for his death, and for his resurrection. And we praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you now send to us, that we may experience his presence and his power in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we lift up your holy church throughout the entire world and ask that you would bless all who are bringing messages, all who are caring for the poor, all who are in harm's way as they proclaim the gospel. Surround and protect those who are in special need. And help us as the body of Christ reach out to all who are poor and in need, all who are suffering, all who are persecuted. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we lift up the nations of this world and ask that you would grant wisdom and understanding and a desire to work for good among all leaders everywhere. Lord God, we ask too that you would bless our nation, bless our state, our community, bless all, Lord God, who are in need. We ask too that you would watch over those who have been struggling with illness, especially those who have been hospitalized, including Clinton Foege and Betty Alibrock, those in hospice care, Irma Hirschfield and Bill Petmecki, and those we name in our hearts before you. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. But when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. On the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come,